The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I am MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. If you are a regular listener or a new listener, here are five ways I can help you right now. You could go to cashflowninja.com and listen to all of my podcasts. I've recorded over 1,000 podcasts with the best minds in business and investing. You can download all of my books in which I share the best alternative asset investment niches. You can watch our free trainings on infinite banking, Midas banking, Bitcoin life insurance, strategic metals, and more. You can subscribe to my weekly newsletter, which is free, The Wealth Dojo, in which I share the best insights on alternative wealth strategies and alternative asset investing you will find anywhere. And finally, you can join our community, The Wealth Dojo, and get access to the best training, strategy, and community in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investing space, period. I've got a fantastic show for you today. Joining me is Atticus LeBlanc with PadSplit. My objective is to always bring you different and unique insights, ideas in the world of alternative wealth strategies and alternative asset investing. And I've shared many, many times on the show that you cannot do the same thing in different markets and expect the same outcomes. You have to pivot, make adjustments, and position yourself in a changing environment, because there's opportunities in any type of market and any type of an environment, but you got to play the game a little bit different to capitalize on those opportunities. Atticus is going to share a very unique strategy, which is very, very powerful right now for real estate investors. Atticus, great to see you.
Great to see you as well, MC.
Yeah, it was great to meet you in person and had a great conversation about everything that you're up to these days and your unique strategy. And I'm very excited to share this with my audience. I always try to bring unique ideas to them as business owners and investors. And what you're up to is definitely very, very unique. And I see a lot of potential. But before we jump into that, for folks that have not heard of Atticus LeBlanc, and this is the first time they're meeting you, can you please share a little bit about your background, your journey, sure, and then what you're up to these days?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I've been an entrepreneur for over 19 years now, largely in the real estate, construction, housing, private lending space, but really started in affordable housing in 2008, started buying houses in the crash, owned and managed about 550 units between 2008 and 2012. Which is where I cut my teeth and really came to understand the customer and frankly the problem overall and just as we were talking earlier. I mean, this idea that wages have remained relatively flat whereas housing prices have grown at a much higher rate, and just became enthralled with the idea of creating a win-win solution to address the gap in affordable housing and making sure that you could ensure that people who were working in your community, or your frontline workers, teachers, firefighters, police officers, retail folks, could actually live in those communities in a way that that was actually more profitable for housing providers so that those housing providers would actually go do it. And it's been the last 15 years of my journey has really been experimenting and trying to prove things out. And for the last 7 years working on PadSplit, which is right now the largest co-living marketplace in the U.S.
So PadSplit, the company that you founded, huge in the prop tech space now, lots of trends are aligning. What are some of, and you mentioned one or two challenges already, income staying flat, real estate prices going up. Sure. What are some of the problems that you're seeing as an with your investor kind of like goggles on in the marketplace that you guys are addressing?
So I think I'll break that down into two categories. Overall, like if you think about housing affordability as a problem, there are really two main tranches. One is lack of supply. Everybody talks about lack of supply and we need to build more housing or create more housing, build ADUs, et cetera. But really nobody talks about the second thing, which is access. And the front end barriers to entry for any worker or any prospective tenant to access the existing supply. And that's like upfront barriers like high deposits, minimum credit scores, 3 times monthly rent, utility deposits, on and on and on there. And depending on what market you're in, these tools are used as underwriting to mitigate the landlord's risk. Well, the reality is that because housing prices have increased at such a faster rate than wages, those upfront barriers really make just getting into or qualifying for housing for most workers untenable. And so that's like the broader problem. From the investor side, of course, we've got high interest rates. You've got limited supply, which means there are fewer opportunities to invest. Construction costs are very high. Lending markets are tight generally. So it's just hard to find decent financing, whether for construction or refinancing. And so development to solve that supply problem by creating more and building more is just very, very difficult. And then beyond that, if you're operating existing real estate because of high interest rates, because of this gap between wages and home prices, you've generally got delinquency issues that you can deal with, or it's harder to fill units. And so from my perspective, the best way to solve those problems for investors was A, figuring out a way to create more cash flow, and B, figuring out a way to qualify more of the existing tenant pool that was already out there that has very high demand for housing. So effectively, how do you create a higher revenue generation model from a lower income population? And in a nutshell, that is room rentals, where the individual rooms are priced at a much lower rate than a traditional apartment or home. And you can remove most barriers to entry for those individual customers by customizing paydays, for instance, and when they actually pay their bills. But it's both more affordable for them. And then on the investor side, the way to think about it is like diminishing returns versus incremental. And so most investors understand that a studio apartment, for instance, is the most expensive or the highest revenue generator on a price per square foot basis. But a two-bedroom apartment is not worth two studios. A three-bedroom apartment or house is not worth three studios. And so there are diminishing returns with each additional bedroom. In a rent-by-the-room model, you can price that first room at a significantly lower gross rate for the tenant than a studio. Let's say 60, 70%, give or take. Well, the second room is worth exactly the same amount though. And so you kind of get to this tipping point because your second, third, fourth bedroom are worth the exact same as that first. And it becomes more profitable for an investor to rent by the room, assuming that they can keep them filled, than it would be renting an entire apartment or an entire home. And so what we specialize in as a marketplace are filling those rooms for people very quickly, extracting the payment model from all of the different individuals that are usually on different pay cycles within a home, and then dealing with a lot of the roommate issues that scare most landlords. In short, we do the things that most real estate investors either cannot do on their own or don't want to do on their own. But we make them a higher profit margin on affordable housing. And the idea is if affordable housing were more profitable than other alternative investments, then people would actually go do that. And that's really what we've proven out.
How do you achieve clarity, certainty, and predictability in a world economy and markets that are volatile and chaotic? How do you have confidence in an environment where change and disruption is constant? Setting up infinite banking is how you establish certainty in an uncertain world, predictability in an unpredictable world. With an infinite banking policy, you have your capital warehoused outside of the Wall Street casino where it is guaranteed never to go down in value, and guaranteed to grow tax-free. You have guaranteed access to your capital, and you also will be able to access your capital tax-free to use to capitalize on opportunities as you come across them. Creating your own banking system with infinite banking can be your secret weapon to protect and grow wealth during turbulent times. You can watch a presentation and explore infinite banking options for you and your family at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. So to just to summarize and try to bring this together, because sometimes when I when I try to summarize it and back, that increases my learning. So in the marketplace of lower income housing and affordable housing, there is a massive, massive challenge right now. And I think a lot of people are just not putting it in this way, that we essentially have a class of people which could be considered, quote unquote, the working poor. It's terrible. Sure. They have 2 to 3 jobs. They're just trying to make ends meet. But because of the way that the economy is set up and inflation and the cost of everything increasing, it's becoming increasingly harder for them to survive, right? And we've talked on the show before. Everything that's needed for survival right now, if you're in the lower economic rungs of the ladder, has significantly gone up. I mean, there's an AI software, Trueflation, which uses AI to calculate the actual inflation, compounding inflation since 2020 to 2024, which is 24%. So who's really feeling that 24% inflation? And most people, if they listen to that number and they listen to the sound, they've been in a store, they go, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. So all these people that are lower, on the lower economic rungs of the ladder, everything that they need for basic survival, whether it's food, clothing, housing, and so forth, has gone up significantly, which is absolutely pricing them out. If you think about like the like someone that would find themselves there, let's just say they're working 2 to 3 jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And these are not lazy people on welfare. These are productive members of society, which, you know, they just got a different start in life than, let's just say, maybe some people listening to the show, and they're trying to rent a studio apartment. Let's just pick that. I think that was one of the examples that you had discussed when we had a conversation. But let's just say it rents in a market, which is a lot of big cities, they do for around $1,500, right? If you're in a market like New York, Boston, Chicago, you know, Jacksonville, Miami, you're like, yeah, that sounds about right. So they would have to put up 3 times the amount. Well, have 3 times the amount of income, right?
Income. Yep.
So $4,500 is what they need to earn.
Yeah.
Just to rent that. Then it's first last month, and security deposit, right? So first month's rent, last month. So that's 3 times to that $1,500. So now all of a sudden, $4,500 just out of pocket, just to move into a place, and you have to have $4,500 to qualify. So, and now credit comes into play. The previous landlords and references, you know,
and you need to be earning more than $50,000 a year in that example. And the reality is, 1/3 of the entire rental population of the United States are either one or two person households that also earn less than 35 grand a year. So it is a massive market. Assuming even something like a $700 a month rent, which is untenable in most of the cities you just named, that's $100 billion a year in a market. So people think this is, oh, well, this seems like a niche type of deal. It's too small market. It's $100 billion a year just in one and two person households that also earn less than $35,000 a year that also rent. And to put it in perspective and maybe to simplify the issue, people think, oh, $15 an hour. And there was a big outcry years ago around raising the national minimum wage to $15 an hour. And of course, there's a lot of press and just talk about that. Well, even at $15 an hour, that's $31,200 a year. Okay, well, you're talking about under $800 a month in rent. And you go try to find a place for under $800 a month in rent, and you're just very unlikely to do it. And then even if you do, as you mentioned, between the deposit and first and last and any other fees, we did a study a couple months ago for the cheapest apartment in Metro Atlanta was $700. But to get into that apartment, just to qualify and get in, was almost $2,800. Well, if you're making 30 grand a year trying to come up with $2,800 to rent a place, you can imagine how few people can actually pull that off. And so it's a massive market. And it's both unfortunate, as well as an opportunity to both do well and do good.
Yeah. So huge problem. And I mean, people would say, yes, there are certain multifamily. I understand that same kind of problem that they're seeing, but also those costs have significantly increased in the C's and the D's and then, you know, in the mobile home park area. And people would say, well, that's why, if you look at the statistics too, it's kind of crazy. But the statistics of people living with parents and living with other family members. But now, again, not everybody's in a situation just to move in with a family member. And in certain families, everybody's in the same boat, kind of this boat, right? So there's a massive, massive problem, and this is just going to get bigger. In my worldview, this gets bigger. This does not get smaller. So if you want to know where this trend is going, it's not reversing. It's gaining momentum. If anything, I mean, this is. By the way, I just wanted to timestamp this too. We're recording this when markets are like at all-time highs. Yeah. And if you look by a lot of metrics, people would say, oh, but the economy seems okay or healthy. And this is already this massive problem. Now imagine if we have an economic rug pull of a massive deep recession and a depression and market crashes coming down, what that looks like. So the momentum is massive. So that's the problem. And then on the other side, the challenges that real estate investors face is maybe you own some properties. And I speak to real estate investors all the time. Maybe you have 10, 20, 30, 40 single family units. They're having a lot of management issues. Late rents, people not paying rents, eviction, all these things that cost time, that cost money, that causes bottlenecks in operations. So there's a lot of that stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, now you come out and you have a platform. That's what PadSplit is, prop tech. It's all done online. A platform which connects real estate investors, people with properties, and then all these people looking to rent. And then, basically through this platform, people can place their properties up for rent, divide it into rooms, and like you were saying, getting better returns overall by following this model than they would have just following the traditional model, which is pretty excited, pretty exciting stuff. Yeah. So can you share more how that works? So I've kind of like set the table for the platform. How does that work?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, well, maybe I'll start with the end, which is what most real estate investors care about, which is doubling your NOI. And so if you look at a traditional single family rental investment there, and then you look at our track record historically, you're looking at average 2x NOI relative to what you would have earned as a traditional single family rental. And the way that we do that, again, is by doing the things that most investors have maybe looked at this business before and said, okay, that's too much work. And they'd be right. And so what we do as a marketplace and a platform is we take those things that really make it a lot more work, and we handle those. So that running a traditional pad split, even though it's rent by the room, is very, very similar to the traditional business that they've already been operating. And I mean, I've had my hands in this for quite some time, and was comparing rent by the room model starting in 2009 with a bunch of houses, with multifamily, even with some commercial. And so I saw that play out over time, and those increased returns are absolutely real. If you are an investor who has properties or who is looking to get into this market, the way that you do it and the way that you work with us is we generally have account execs in a given market that can walk you through the whole process. We have an ecosystem of contractors, lenders, insurance agents, real estate agents who understand what are the characteristics to look for. And then we set standards and say, okay, well, every room has to be HUD standards. So you've got to have a minimum of 80 square feet. You've got to have 2 points of egress from every room, fire safety protection, and those types of things. But even in a 3 or 4 bedroom house, you probably have at least one other room that you can convert. Take a formal dining room, for instance, where that formal dining room in a single family rental scenario generates $0. There's no revenue that anyone I know of has ever gotten from renting a formal dining room. Well, all of a sudden, if you think about what is the difference architecturally between a formal dining room and a bedroom, and you realize, oh, well, it's basically a door, because you still have the windows, you still have 2 points of egress, it's about the same size. And so you change the furniture and you put on a door, and lo and behold, you now have a revenue producing space that produces, call it $700-$800 a month in net rent to you. And so the more inefficient spaces you have, the more that you can actually create new supply of affordable housing that did not exist previously. It's not like someone was living in that formal dining room, and you can make it more affordable and more profitable simultaneously. And so those owners bring us those properties. We fill the rooms generally very quickly. When you're talking about the time to fill, right now the median is less than 7 days across 11,500 units. So very, very fast, much quicker than what most people are anticipating in a traditional single family or even an apartment model. Then we take care of all of the payments. And we set up payment cycles, as I mentioned, for each of those residents on a weekly or per payday basis. And as a result, even though we're talking about lower income, generally lower credit individuals, our effective collections rate has never dropped below 97% in the last 7 years. Right now, it's about 97.6% if you look at billables versus collections. So extremely high collections rate. But it also means that if you're talking about 6 bedrooms in a house billing weekly, we're collecting 25 plus payments per month. So logistically, that's a lot of the work that generally keeps people out of this space that we've solved as a technology company. And then the last piece is dealing with roommate issues like Johnny stole my peanut butter, Susie's playing her music too loud. Gosh, I really don't like that MC hogs the bathroom every day. Like, who deals with those types of things? And so we've built technology, and we have 24/7 customer service to address those types of issues all the time. And at 25,000 plus stays at this point, we've seen just about everything that there is to see, as you might imagine. And we handle a lot of the resident management aspects of the business.
I am super excited to announce that I have launched the Cashflow Ninja Niches Book Trilogy. 3 books, the 21 best cashflow niches, the 21 most unique cashflow niches, and the 21 best cash growth niches. In the 3 books, I feature a total of 66 different alternative asset investment niches. You know what's the best part? I'm giving it all away for free. When you go to cashflowninja.com, you can download the 21 best cash flow niches, the 21 most unique cash flow niches, and the 21 best cash growth niches in digital and audio format for free. If you're like me and you like physical books, you can buy all three books on Amazon. Just go to cashflowninja.com/Amazon and it'll take you to all three books. I want to thank every single listener from the bottom of my heart for riding along on this journey with me since 2016. So the model inside, there's a common area, common space and kitchen and so forth. And then you have the rooms and they can be, the rooms can be locked with electronic keys, right?
Correct. Yeah. Different hosts. I mean, listen, different hosts have different strategies. Think of this almost like a corollary to Airbnb. Some hosts put electronic locks on the bedroom. Some have standard locks. Kitchens are almost always shared. But we've been successful renting studios or accessory dwelling units as well for folks. Bathrooms sometimes are shared, sometimes are private. Of course, there is a price premium for private baths. If people have their own little kitchenette kind of mini studio, then there's a price premium for that as well. Some hosts decide they're gonna install TVs in each bedroom. Others are kind of bare bones and they're really making a price play with just, hey, bed, dresser, lamp, place to put your clothes. And because you've got folks who are working one, two, three jobs, really what they're looking for is safe, clean, quiet, and that's it. Depending on what market you're in, we've seen different strategies from different real estate investors that have all been successful. So I'm careful not to prescribe any one strategy now. I generally believe that most folks who are experts in their market are going to know a lot more about what's needed than I would. But as a platform, we can accommodate all of those different use cases and try to make sure that each of those different hosts, regardless of what their strategy is, can be really successful, and we can fill those rooms and keep them filled.
What is interesting, and that was a great point, by the way, it reminds me like about Airbnb in the sense, and you had mentioned that. Think about all the different strategies that there are at Airbnb. I mean, there's so many different strategies that investors have in different markets that they operate in and at different levels, right, too, of who exactly they're trying to cater to, who their ideal renter would be of that room. Having a conversation with someone that actually did a pad split too, they're trying to build kind of a brand, right? Have a standard for a property with certain types of furniture and, as you mentioned, TVs in all the individual rooms and so forth, and really make it nice. It looks really, really nice. The person sharing some of the pictures and stuff with me. There's many, many different ways to do this, but I think the idea itself is a unique solution to a massive problem, number one, in the marketplace for affordable housing. And then number two, for real estate investors to kind of pivot in a different type of environment to, get greater returns and not deal with all the other issues that other single family real estate investors are dealing with.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I've touched just about every side of real estate investment at this point, and I can say with clear conscience, I mean, pound for pound, there is no better unlevered return on cost. Like you cannot find a better yield than rent by the room. And as you mentioned earlier, like it works in every market. I started in this business in 2009. That was a very different market from where we are today, but it has worked consistently and been around that 2x increase in NOI in every year since. So we've been in multiple markets to be able to see that work. I've experimented with 55 plus. So we've seen an explosion of new seniors and empty nesters, and just the overall share of the population that are single persons now is exponentially greater than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so there's huge demand here, but whether you're doing 55 plus or you're focusing on students or you're focusing on at workers for an Amazon distribution center or a Walmart or some other large manufacturing or employment center, there are strategies around all those. I mean, we hear a lot about, traveling nurses. I mean, some people are catering towards traveling nurses or flight attendants, et cetera. But everyone can kind of pick their niche. And the platform can really serve all of those.
There's a lot of different interests. You just mentioned the 55 plus. I mean, think of the pension crisis and retirement crisis. We see the numbers every time. So there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be in a position to have that retirement of their dreams. So what are they going to do? Well, there's going to be a different solution for them, right?
Yeah. I mean, even more basic than that, Social Security income, MC. I mean, in 2009, what got me into this business, I had a rental property and next door, there was a really junky rooming house. I didn't even know what a rooming house was in 2009. And there were two guys who lived in that house, Otis and Mitch. They both earned Social Security income. That was their total income. Mitch was earning $735 a month and Otis was earning $685 a month. Can you imagine? I mean, even in 2009, they didn't qualify for anything, nothing. And that was in the worst real estate crisis in my generation. And yet here are guys on government guaranteed fixed income who don't qualify for anything. And that population has continued to increase, particularly as boomers age. But you just do the math, right? I mean, at $735 a month, you're talking 200 and change that you can qualify for a rental. That doesn't exist. And even now, at people making $1,100 a month or so fixed income Social Security that are seniors, what are they going to do with that? There's nothing they can afford outside of renting a room. So we see a huge number of those people as well.
So from the legal side, I find it interesting. That was one of your first hires, right, is legal counsel. Because, of course, in a very litigious society like the United States and the West to begin with, and people listening to this, their heads must be spinning right now thinking, well, what does that look like? What are some of the things that you've seen there? And legally, like, and again, this is not legal advice or so forth. This is, you know, the markets that you're in, they're all very, very different. So there's all different regulations and laws and that kind of stuff. So you do need some expertise, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, and I tell people, I am not an attorney. I was just named after one, but yeah, I mean, first to set the stage, I think like the quote unquote legal issues or concerns break down into two categories. And the first is maybe easier to address in that people think, oh man, what's going to happen when all those people live together? It's going to be a nightmare. Well, I will remind those individuals that we've only thought that everyone should have their own house within the last 100 years. I mean, Homo sapiens have been around for what, 300,000 years or so. And we were living together in caves for a long, long time. So our programming is very much one of socialization. And so those problems are generally much less severe and much rarer than people think, right? I mean, like, I think I might've asked you guys at dinner, how many times have you seen a fight break out on an airplane? It doesn't happen that regularly, even though you're in close contact for a long period of time. And the same is true of housing. So that's like those things just don't really happen that often. And when they do, they're generally minor. On the zoning side, that's where things get a little more interesting. And zoning is wild. As we look at Atlanta Metro, for instance, which is where I am and where I'm most familiar, there are 83 different local jurisdictions that make up Atlanta Metro, 83 different definitions of family. So you can go to one city, Doraville, Georgia, for instance, which family is defined as no more than two unrelated people, and grandparents don't count. Aunts and uncles don't count in the definition of family. Then you go across the line into City of Atlanta, and City of Atlanta's definition of family is no more than six unrelated persons, plus four people who may board with the family but cannot occupy more than two rooms, plus as many domestic servants as you want. And so like wide variation and you read some of these things and you're like, this is crazy. How old can this law possibly be? And for those whose heads are spinning, like, doesn't that violate some form of constitutional right? Like, yes, absolutely. You're right. It does. Freedom of association is protected under the First Amendment. And so When we run into those cases, we do two things. Like, one, we absolutely fight when we need to fight. But one of the other things that's interesting and idiosyncratic is person, even though family is defined at a local level, person is defined on a statewide level in 47 out of 50 states. And person is also inclusive of a corporation. So if a landlord is renting to an LLC, then by the letter of the law, they're renting to one person. And if residents become members of that LLC, then all of a sudden things get really gray really quickly with family versus person. And so there's a lot of nuance there. The cases are still pretty rare, honestly. I think it's much more effective to just look at, hey, is my neighbor going to be ticked off if I don't cut my grass? Yeah, they are. Are they going to be ticked off if there's trash all over the place and the garbage cans don't get picked up? Yeah, they are. Like, that's the surest fire way to run into a problem. It's still illegal in most local jurisdictions to spit on the sidewalk. I don't know anybody who's ever been arrested for it. And so the reality is, like, if you are a good operator and you are a good neighbor, then you're likely not going to have to rely on any sort of legal issues because your neighbors aren't going to hate you. And we don't have issues with party houses, for instance. Like, this, it's just not really a thing. You're talking about workers who are looking for a place to sleep, and they're generally looking for someplace quiet. And so if the house is well kept up, you're just not going to run into issues. I think across the entire portfolio of over 2,000 or right around 2,000 houses and 11,500 rooms, there are maybe 25 total open citations right now. When we have to fight on zoning, we often win because it doesn't take much to recognize that a lot of those laws really are outdated and conflict with some existing constitutional protections. But that's maybe more than a nutshell on legal. And I'll close with, I am still not an attorney, even though I was named after one.
That's right. How many markets are you guys in right now?
We're in about 20 major metros, but okay. We can go anywhere. We are a technology solution. And if you're a host, particularly if you're an anchor host in a market that you think is high demand and you have high conviction and enthusiasm for a given market, we'll try to figure out how to make it work for you.
Are you ready to ride the wave of success in the booming car wash industry? Tommy's Express Car Wash is the cutting-edge brand that is revolutionizing the way we clean vehicles. Demand for top-notch, state-of-the-art tunnel car wash is skyrocketing. Institutions are diving in headfirst, and the real asset investor is already a step ahead. They have a world-class operations team, and they're building a portfolio of Tommy's Express car washes that's on track to become one of the largest privately owned car wash portfolios in the United States. The margins on a stabilized Tommy's Express car wash are incredible, and accredited investors have the chance to join them on their adventure. Dave Zook, the founder and CEO of The Real Asset Investor, and his team are thrilled to share opportunities like Tommy's Car Wash with accredited investors that boost your cash flow, unlocks massive tax benefits, and get you set up for a lucrative exit just a few years from now. To learn more about the opportunities offered by The Real Asset Investor, you can reach out to them at info@therealassetinvestor.com. That's info@therealassetinvestor.com.
What is the potential pitfalls of this model? I always try to figure out, okay, there's a ton of upside here, a great solution and a great strategy for a changing real estate market. But what could potential downsides be? What are some pitfalls?
This is the perfect solution, MC. There are no downfalls. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's I think the reality is, like, look, even though it is I think with the technology, we have made this business scalable. I mean, we have folks who have 100 plus houses in some cases. And so, like, this is scalable in a way that has not been previously. But that said, it is still different. It is still different than a traditional single family rental setup or multifamily. You can't really get institutional non-recourse debt financing right now the same way that you can if you're buying a pool of apartment complexes. And so that's a pretty significant downside. Like just the institutional capital markets have not yet warmed to this idea. I take some solace in the fact that, okay, well, they haven't really for Airbnb either. And that's still a $100 billion company with 6 million listings. So yeah, I think it can still grow in spite of that. The other thing I would say is it is different. And in some cases, it can be more work than a totally passive rental. You have more trips to a property. So if you have a property manager, well, the property manager is probably doing less things than they were before, fewer things than they were before. They're not handling leasing, but they're going to be out there for more maintenance tickets, right? Because now you have, let's say, six people in a house and each one is sending in different maintenance tickets. You are including utilities, which is something that a lot of people just don't really understand or not on board with. It's absolutely worked. And there are a lot of reasons that we do it. But it is different. And you're going to have more maintenance tickets. You have more visibility inside the house 24/7. Whereas in my experience in single family rentals, you've got fewer maintenance tickets, fewer trips out there. But the catch 22 is you also don't really know what's happening in the house. And so when you go to turn it, when the last long-term tenant moves out of a single family home, you generally have a pretty expensive CapEx expenditure to go in and almost re-renovate the entire house. Whereas in a pad split, you really never see that. And your turn costs are generally for an individual room versus having to re-renovate an entire house. If you got six people sharing a house, you have now six opportunities that somebody's going to report the leaky kitchen P-trap. Whereas you might not find out about it in your single family rental until they move out and you realize, oh gosh, I got to replace all the cabinetry. So it's different, I'd say, more than anything. And there's a learning curve for sure. There are downsides to, I think, every investment. And this is probably more engaged than something totally passive, but it's also higher revenue. So there's obviously a trade-off there.
I just want to reiterate one of the things that you said. I don't think we touched on that in the beginning. So the electricity, the Wi-Fi, all the utilities, that is paid for by the landlord, by the owner of the property. You're not putting a utility bill in one of the tenants in one of the room's names. Yes. It's all in the landlord. And then, of course, Pad Split does all of the leasing. So they obviously have a contract with a property owner and they take care of the leasing part.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, residents pay for everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whether utilities are included or excluded, the resident still pays. In our case, it's very, very important that residents have transparent pricing because they're living paycheck to paycheck in some cases, but they're certainly on a strict budget. And so it's disingenuous to show them one price and then when the bill comes around, they see a different price because probably not going to be in their budget and that's not going to be in anybody's best interest.
Right.
And so to make that transparent pricing possible, we show them the price and there are no gotchas, no gimmies. Like this is the price and it includes furniture, laundry, Wi-Fi, all the utilities. We even include things like all on-time payments get reported to credit bureaus so that their credit scores increase. We provide access to telemedicine services so that instead of maybe having to come out of pocket hundreds or thousands of dollars to go to the ER, they can call a doctor via telemedicine for free. It's better for residents. It's better for owners. It's better for us. And so there are things there that are absolutely different. But what it means is when those utilities are included, Now, all of a sudden, that upfront barrier to entry of paying utility deposit doesn't exist. And because technology has come so far in just the last 10 years, I can control my thermostat in every single house so that I know somebody's not turning the heat to 90 degrees in the wintertime or the AC down to 62 in the summertime, and I end up with this massive bill. So you have insight into all of those aspects and much more control than I think you ever have. But I really believe that leads to a better product and a better experience for everybody.
Bed policy, this is going to be a question somebody has. How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, it's up to the host is the short answer. Now, this is also one of the interesting issues that I think all landlords are dealing with right now is emotional support animals. Mm. You can't fight the feds on that. I think it's a little bit silly that, I've been a dog lover, dog owner my entire life. I've got 2 dogs and 10 chickens right now. I think they're all emotional support animals personally, but when I can go to certapet.com and pay $100 to turn any pet, including a guinea pig, into an emotional support animal, what are we doing here? But the reality is it's not worth fighting those battles. It really isn't. If someone's gone through the trouble of getting their animal certified, I've got some bad news for landlords, which is just whether it's a pad split, single family rental, apartment, just check the box and move on. Don't really have. I wish things were more logical there than they are, but that's a hill I'm not ready to die on.
We are in the beginning of another Bitcoin cycle. Many listeners and viewers have reached out to me asking me how they can safely buy, secure, and store Bitcoin and how they can set up an automated Bitcoin savings account. I've used Swan Bitcoin to dollar cost average throughout the entire Bitcoin cycle with an automated Bitcoin savings account. You can start your Bitcoin savings account at www.swanbitcoin.com/cashflowninja and get $10 free in Bitcoin. No, there's no rational, logical solutions to irrational, illogical things. To your point, I love animals. I grew up with a ton of dogs too. And I understand how some people can seek their comfort, but sure. Traveling lightly and walking through an airport, I had the exact same feeling that you just, that you have. I'm like, what are we doing here? Come on. Like it's kind of insane.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, after having complaints on fair housing enough times, we threw up our hands and said, look, if people have the paperwork, then just process it. But we've seen emotional support guinea pigs, emotional support hedgehogs. I heard a story about somebody having an emotional support flock of chickens, not in pad split, but somewhere else. You just kind of gotta shake your head at some point, but maybe there will be some practical reason at some point, but we're not there yet, apparently.
Yep, that's the funny thing about real estate is you're still dealing with human beings, and we are extremely interesting creatures collectively.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, alignment of incentives is the basis for our entire business, right? And really, how do you create an opportunity for access to housing for people who want it and need it? And how do you make that more profitable so that housing providers actually create it? That's really it. That undergirds the entire business.
5 years from now, what do you see for pad split, and what do you see in this marketplace happening?
Listen, we want to get to 1 million units by 2030. So little longer than 5 years there, but not too much longer. We've continued to grow and actually accelerate growth within the last 6 months. We had a huge month of March, but we want to be able to service anyone anywhere. That's really the name of the game, and I firmly believe that that you know part of my calling in life is really just creating opportunities for folks. And when I came to Atlanta in 2002, I was making 30 grand a year, and I rented a room for 6 months to be able to just make ends meet, and ended up getting really lucky and buying a house, and that changed the course of my life, and ultimately gave me financial independence. I love nothing more than to be able to create those opportunities for everybody.
Fantastic. We talk a lot about business. We talk a lot about investing on the show, but I always ask folks on their first conversation with me on the show, we have a conversation around legacy a lot in our community. Yep. So I always ask, if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, but you're only allowed to pass on three principles or values to them to build wealth, achieve success and happiness, what would they be?
It's a great question. I think probably the first thing is just endurance and resilience and recognizing that it's never over until you say quit, right? I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time and gotten punched in the face many, many times over, and thought we were done in various businesses and life cycles. But at the end of the day, you get up and you put one foot in front of the other. And so, if there's one thing I could pass on to my kids or really anyone else, it's just that. And then the second part goes hand in hand, which is to do it enthusiastically. You know, commit to something. And show up and recognize that there's one person you control. It's yourself, and you might as well be positive and have optimism around whatever you're dedicating your life to. And then the last piece is just get a little bit better every day. You don't have to eat the whole elephant in one bite. You don't have to boil the ocean in one day. It's all incremental, and you do one thing of importance every day, and you try to improve yourself and spend your time wisely, and just keep getting a touch better.
Fantastic. Atticus, where can people follow you? Where can they stay informed of all of the many things that you're involved in, and how could they get involved in PadSplit and start their own PadSplit?
PadSplit.com is the best place. If you're interested in following anything with the company, you can follow us on social, or go to the site and get in touch with an account exec. For me, I'm most active on LinkedIn. I generally prefer long form content. So I do publish a newsletter on LinkedIn every 2 weeks, and post with some degree of regularity. But I can never consolidate all my thoughts to 220 characters, so you won't find me much on X or Twitter. And obviously, I'm not that good looking either, so I don't do a hell of a lot of video.
This has been a blast, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights and your knowledge, and just providing so much value for all of my listeners and my viewers. This is again a great strategy for a changing real estate market. So. You cannot continue to do the same things over and over, especially in a changing world. So appreciate you sharing this unique strategy.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and really appreciate the opportunity, MC.
Thank you to all of my listeners and viewers for, again, spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. Books, podcasts, webinars, and you can sign up for the best weekly newsletter in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investment space, the Wealth Dojo. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals.
and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.